This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. Umma ba'du, my brothers and sisters, this is our lesson on death and hereafter. We're talking about the actual time as soon as we die. And I mentioned to you the hadith of Rasulullah who said that whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah likes to meet him, and whoever dislikes meeting Allah, Allah dislikes meeting him. Now, of course, this does not mean that if you dislike meeting Allah, you will not be presented before him on the Day of Judgment. That will happen to everybody, whether you like it or you don't like it. Everyone will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. You are talking about the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the nature of that meeting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very clearly, where he said that the one who meets him, right, يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah said, the best example, the best way of life, a good way of life for the one who wants to meet Allah, not who will inevitably meet Allah, no. The one who wants to meet Allah and the one who is looking forward to the Day of Judgment, because that's when he will meet Allah. For that person, how must he live in this world? He must live the way Rasulullah lived. And he must do a lot of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the dhakirin, inshallah. Now, in this connection, when Rasulullah mentioned this, that Allah loves to meet the one who loves to meet him, and vice versa, Allah does not like to meet the one who does not want to meet him. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, our mother, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless her and reward her for all the beautiful questions that she always asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thanks to which we have our deen. She said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is it that likes death? Meeting Allah means to die. So she said, who is it that likes death? We all dislike death. So does it mean that we dislike meeting with Allah? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, he said, that is not what I meant. But when he is about to die, will be given the news that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to meet him and has forgiven him and is going to honor him, and so he will love to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the disbeliever is given the news that Allah is angry with him and will punish him, and so he dislikes meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who look forward to meeting him jalla jalaluhu, and who could live their lives in a way where, inshallah musta'an, the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be a beautiful meeting, inshallah. Rasulullah said about death, he said, even as the janazah is being taken, when the janazah is being carried on the shoulders of men, if it is a righteous person, he will say, khaddimuni, khaddimuni, take me quick, be quick, take me and go as fast as you can. And if it's an evil person, he will say, woe to me, where are you taking me? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, everything hears this sound except people. And if they could hear the sound, they would die of the shock. If they could hear the sound of the dead person speaking, he said, they would die of shock. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if I was not afraid that you would stop burying your dead, I would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow you to hear the sound of the punishment of the grave. Those people who want to deny or like to deny the punishment of the grave, there are any number of sahih ahadith where Rasulullah ﷺ has spoken about it, has described it, and Rasulullah ﷺ even used to make dua for protection from the punishment of the grave. Allahumma inni a'udhubika min adhab al-qabri wa adhab al-nar wa a'udhubika min fitnati al-masih al-dajjal wa fitnati al-mahya wa mamat. And he used to say, O Allah, forgive me and save me and protect me from the adab of the qabr, from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire, and save me from the test and trial and tribulation and fitna and the danger of the dajjal and the danger of life and death. This is the dua which we make in every salah at the end of the duas in tashahud. And there are some of the Ulama and Aimma who said that the salah is incomplete if you do not make this dua. May Allah help us to understand and to this and to make these duas and to ensure that we keep this in mind. The fact that there is punishment in the grave. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the punishment in the grave. Abdullah ibn Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayhi, the son of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he said that he was present when his father was passing away and was in Sakrat, was in the last moments of his life and was going into consciousness and regaining consciousness. He said when this time of Sakrat is like when we sleep, we go through a stage which is neither sleep nor awakening, and it's the same kind of thing that happens at the time of death. Now Abdullah ibn Ahmad bin Hanbal, he said, I heard my father saying, Labad, Labad, not yet, not yet. So he asked him, he said, when he gained consciousness, he said, I asked my father, he said, Ya Abi, are you afraid of death? What is this thing you are saying? Imam Ahmad said, Shaitan was standing next to me and biting his fingers and saying, Ahmad fittani, Ahmad fittani. He said, Oh Ahmad, you have escaped me, you have escaped me. And I said, Labad, Labad, not yet, not yet, until I die. Now this is the battle between us and Shaitan, which goes on until the last moment. Now Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi says that this is because Shaitan realizes that once you die, you are out of his hands. And so he uses all his strength to turn you towards him. Now think about this, if you are already losing the battle with Shaitan, when he is only devoting partial attention to us, what will be our situation when he devotes his full attention to us when we are in Sakrat? Think about this, right? Little temptations, do this, do that, tell a lie, do some ghiba, some backbiting, some slander, bribery, corruption, playing games. Shaitan is playing games, borrow money on interest because you want to do business. My brothers and sisters, just ask yourself this one question. This is such a dumb question, I tell you, subhanAllah, I wish we could understand this and settle it for us, for ourselves once and for all. Ask yourself, are you going to take this business with you in your qabr? I'm saying it's a dumb question because there is only one answer. Obviously, yes, no, you are not going to. If you are not going to take it, then why are you writing your name in the list of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Tell me. The same thing applies to you don't want to pray. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You do not want to do salah. What will you do when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, salah is the first thing which will be asked about. If that is clear, rest of it will be clear. If you get caught in that, you are dead. You're gone. Everything will become complicated. He said, salah is miftahul jannah. It is the key to jannah. No salah, no key. Why do we play this game with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't we know that we will die? That's why I say this again and again like a broken record. Stand in front of a mirror, look at yourself in your look in your own eyes and tell yourself, I will die. I will die. And if you don't believe that, go and attend a funeral or go to a graveyard and look at the kubur, look at all the graves there. Which one of them do you think voluntarily came and lay down in his own grave? Nobody wants to die. But we die. So what sense does it make if we are not going to make preparations for this? If we are not going to protect ourselves against the azab of the qabr, protect ourselves against the problems of the grave, what sense does it make? That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever dies on something, he will be resurrected in the same state. So if someone dies in Hajj, he will be resurrected in Ihram reciting Talbiyah. Whoever dies Shaheed fi sabilillah, he will be resurrected with his wound bleeding as a proof of his death as a Shaheed. Then he said the blood will have the smell of musk. No, it will not have a nasty smell. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, Innamal amalu bil khawatim. He said the worth of a deed is based on its ending. The worth of a life is based on its ending. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best deeds, especially at our ending. Now in this context, let us look at what is called Al-Asbab Su Al-Khatima, the reasons or causes for a bad ending. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min Su'ul khatima, Allah save us from a bad ending. The problems are, first and foremost, al-fasad fil aqidah or al-fasad fil i'tiqad. Problems or defects with the aqidah. When we have defects in our aqidah, these show up when we are tested. Just like a machine that breaks down when it's put through a rigorous application. Similarly, if we have doubts or some shirk in our belief, then when shaitan puts us through his tests at the time of our deaths, this doubt will show up, and in the confusion and terror at the time of death, we end up giving up the whole belief and dying on kufr or shirk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّيُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. The ayat of Surah Al-Kahf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, shall we tell you who are the greatest losers in respect of their deeds? They are those whose efforts have been wasted in this life while they thought that they were acquiring good by their deeds. So these are the people who think they are doing well, but actually they are doing wrong. So all the bid'at and shirk and so on that is done in the name of Islam, this falls into this. Like whatever you are doing, which Rasulullah ﷺ did not do. Simplest question. Take it back to the origin. The origin is Rasulullah ﷺ. It's not this person, this murshid, that murshid, your sheikh, my sheikh. No. Nobody. Any action that is related to ibadat, any action that is related to aqidah, our belief, our creed, and the ibadat, any action, whatever it is. Aqidah is tawheed. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. There's no one worthy of belief, of worship, except Allah. And Rasulullah is the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we follow him. This is our aqidah. And then we believe in the angels, we believe in the day of judgment, we believe in qadr, in the destiny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for us, both the good and the evil of it. We believe in being resurrected after our death. We believe in the in all the Anbiya and Rasul, all the messengers and prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we believe in all the books that came to them, and we believe in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, that this Quran is the actual speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalal. This is our aqidah. The questions in the grave are questions of aqidah. Right? And on the Day of Judgment, the questions will be on amal, on our deeds. Now, in that context, if somebody tells you to do something which is an act of prayer, is an act of worship, and what is worship? What is ibadah? Ibadah is any action that is done with the intention and desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever it is, whatever that action is, whether it is salah, whether it is reciting some dua, whether it is going to some place, whether it is feeding some people, whether it is celebrating this or that day, or this or that event, whatever the action, if you are doing this action to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes an action of ibadah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, if it is correct and if it is right, Allah will reward you. And if it is not right, then we get caught. Because then we become guilty of introducing something into Islam, into the ibadat of Islam, or into the aqidah, i'tiqad of Islam, that does not belong there. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ بِدَعَةٍ ضَلَالَ وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. He said, all bid'at, all innovations, all introductions into the deen are misguidance, and all misguidance in the fire. The reason why this is so strong and so severe is because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the last and final messenger alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him with the message And he completed that message. He completely delivered that message sincerely and truthfully, and he did not leave anything for somebody else to complete after his passing away. We know this. This is our Aqidah. If anyone believes that Rasulullah ﷺ did not complete the message, and that someone else, whoever that person might be, came after him and completed that message, this person has left Islam. This person has completely left Islam. Right? So we say that the Prophet ﷺ completed his message. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that the message is completed. He said, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena. Allah said, on this day I have perfected my blessing on you, I have completed your deen, and I have chosen Islam for you as the as your deen. Right? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the deen has been completed, this is the deen has been given to you, when Rasulullah conveyed this whole deen and with the entire congregation who went with him for Hajj, Hajjatul Wada, maybe there were over 100,000 people. Rasulullah asked the people, he said, tell me, have I completed and completely delivered my message? Have I completely taught you everything in Islam? They said, Ya Rasulullah, you completely taught us, we are witness. Rasulullah raised his index finger, he looked up at the heavens and he said, Allah, you are witness. Now, anyone introducing something into the deen after this is in effect saying by their action that that Allah had not completed the deen and Rasulullah had not completed his message, and that you now are coming and completing it. So if you say that this must be done, that must be done, if anyone tells you that, very simple thing is ask them to give you evidence of Sahih Ahadith showing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it and he told us to do it. If the evidence is there and if the evidence is good, alhamdulillah, please follow. For example, if somebody says, recite after the fourth salah, recite Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times, right? 34 times, and then say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahu mulku wa lahu alhamdu wa ala kulli shayin qadir. If someone says, please do this, and you ask them, what is the evidence? They will show you the evidence of the Tasbih Fatimi, which Rasulullah ﷺ taught to Fatima radiallahu anha, and he told us to read it like this after the first salawat, after all the five first salawat, and at the time of sleeping, where he used to recite, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha's hadith, he would recite it and then he would blow on his hands and he would pass his hands over his whole body. We have evidence, alhamdulillah, we can do it, no problem. But if somebody says, celebrate the birthday of Rasulullah on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. Now people try to confuse. And if you tell them, please show me the evidence that Rasulullah told us to celebrate his birthday. Did he celebrate it or did he tell us to celebrate it on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal? How do you know he was born on 12th of Rabiul Awwal? Because that itself is a date which is not fixed. We don't know. There are many different narrations on that. Then people get into an argument. They say, but are you not happy that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born? Now that's a completely asinine and stupid question. It's insulting to ask that question to a Muslim. Why would I not be happy that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born? The birth of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the number one happiest event in the history of humankind. But that does not mean that I am going to celebrate it on a particular day, doing certain things, when he sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us never to do anything which he did not do. So, it's not a question of being happy or not happy. It's a question of this innovation, this bid'ah, this new thing that you want me to start in my deen. Give me evidence. If you give me the evidence, no problem. But if you do not have the evidence, and there is no evidence, Because we know that Rasulullah did not do this and he didn't ask anyone to do this. It was only 300 years later in Egypt, in the reign of the Fatimi Khilafah, that this practice was started. The reason I'm saying all of this in so much detail is because this is an example of this ayat of Suratul Kahf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, shall I show you who are the worst of the losers? They who were doing things which they thought were getting them good deeds. Actually, they were not getting them good deeds, they were getting them bad deeds. The big problem about bid'ah, my brothers and sisters, is this. A person who is doing haram, a person who is committing zina or drinking alcohol or dealing with interest or telling lies or backbiting or murdering somebody, anyone who is doing all of these things knows that what they are doing is wrong. Right? They know it is haram. They are still doing it. It's a major sin. But the hope there is that because they are doing it, knowing it is wrong, the hope is that someday this penny will drop and before they die, they will make amends, they will make istighfar, they will make tawbah, they will repent, they will make it good to whoever they had harmed, so that inshallah Allah will forgive them. If they die without that, they are in trouble. But I'm saying, because they were doing something which they knew to be wrong, whatever be the reason for doing it, the chances are that inshallah we hope that Allah will give them tawfiq, that they will make tawbah. But what about those who are doing shirk, considering it to be good? They don't think it is shirk, but they are doing shirk. They are practicing bid'ah, they are practicing all kinds of innovations in the religion, and they think it is a good thing. What about them? Where is the hope for tawbah for them? Imagine their terrible shock when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they find that instead of good deeds, all of these were things which are now in the other pan of their scale. May Allah protect us from this. That's the reason why Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, famous story which we all know, when he opened Jerusalem and he went inside and he saw some priests coming out of the church, he had tears in his eyes. So people said, why are you crying? He said, because of this. Here are people who are committing shirk, but they think they are doing something good. So please, stay far, far, far away from anything which is an innovation, which is bid'at, which is shirk. Stay very far away. And the way to do that is, no matter who it is, if somebody tells you do this, tell him, show me evidence from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Show it to me in the Quran or show it to me in the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if the person can give you a authentic hadith to prove that, alhamdulillah, by all means, do it. But if the person cannot give you that, then stay very far away. Now, in the in all this, the things that we do, you know, the Fatiha, the Kunde, Niyaz, Ziyarat, Chahallum, Barsi, Urs, all of these things are bid'at, and they all come in this definition of kullu bid'atin dhalala wa kullu dhalalatin finnar. And those of you who are saying, oh, we don't know what is barsi, what is kunde, what is chahallum, alhamdulillah, there are some things that is, if you don't know, that is good for you, don't learn. There are some things that which are good not to know. But those who know, please stop doing this. Stop destroying your own life. Now, among the asbab su al khatima, the things leading to a bad ending, one is al udul anil istikhama, diversion from the straight path, diversion from the path of steadfastness, which is sometimes it seems the diversion seems to be at a small angle, little bit, but you know that if you take something which is at a slight diversion, at infinity, it is worlds apart. And that is what seems to be harmless, but actually it takes you far away from the deen and from the haqq. And Iblis was, think about that, Iblis was one of the righteous. He made one small mistake out of kibr, and then he became the worst of creation. Iblis did not refuse to make sujood to Allah. Iblis did not refuse to worship Allah. Think about those who don't want to pray. Today there are human beings who will not do salah, who will not make sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even Iblis did not do that. Iblis refused to make sujood to Adam alayhi salam, not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But his refusal to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam was a disobedience of Allah's hukum. And that disobedience, and also the fact that he stayed on that disobedience, he stuck to that disobedience. So we're looking at two things here. We're looking at one is disobedience itself, and secondly, insisting on sin. Israr alal ma'asi. Adam alayhi salam also committed a mistake. And Hawa alayhi salam, our mother and father, they also committed a mistake. But what's the difference? When they committed the mistake, as soon as they realized it, immediately they made istighfar. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Oh Allah, we are the transgressors. Oh Allah, we made a mistake. We have wronged ourselves. ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We have transgressed against ourselves. And if you do not forgive us, oh Allah, we will be destroyed. Oh Allah, please forgive us. Where there is istighfar and where there is tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu promised to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to forgive all sins provided we make istighfar and tawbah. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this very clearly in the Quran. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي أَلَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah said, O my slaves, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the people, O my slaves, Ya ibadi, my slaves, who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair of the mercy of Allah jalla jalaluhu. Verily and truly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all sins. And truly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving and most merciful. So if you make istighfar and tawbah, alhamdulillah, there is no problem. But if you do not make istighfar and tawbah, if you insist on the sin, this is what Iblis did. Iblis committed a mistake. He could have said, Ya Allah, I made a mistake. Please forgive me. I make sajda to Adam. You told me to do, I will do it. He said no. He insisted. He said, خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارِ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تِينِ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ. He said, I am better than him. You made me from fire. You made him from clay. Now you are telling me to make sajda to him, which means you are asking a superior being to bow to an inferior being. So what is he saying? He is saying, you are the one who made a mistake. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Instead of saying that I made a mistake in disobeying you, he is criticizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is saying, your order itself is wrong. Nauzubillah. So first you commit a mistake, then you insist that the one who gave the order is the one who made the mistake, not you. And that landed him in the hellfire. No matter that he had spent, and we Allah alam what the age of Iblis was, no matter how many thousands, millions of years he spent in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one mistake and his attitude with regard to that mistake landed him in the hellfire forever. What do you say about us as human beings? We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made salah fard on ourselves, but we will not pray. Allah said, Aqimu salah wa atu zakah. Allah said, establish the salah and pay zakat. We say, no, I will not pray. I will not give zakat. What is the answer? What do you think will happen? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for this arrogance that we display with regard to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, and with regard to our duty to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. We have a duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to obey Him. Sama'na wa ata'na. Oh Allah, we hear and we obey. This is the position of the Muslim. But if we don't do that, and if we continue to insist on disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what is the fate of such a person? My brothers and sisters, seriously, let us ask ourselves these questions and let us make istighfar and tawbah, because we don't know when our death has been written. When that time comes, لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that time cannot be brought forward and that time cannot be delayed. We cannot delay the time and we cannot bring it forward. So, what's the plan? Let us ask ourselves this question and let us ensure that we live in a way where our life and death, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahayaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen, verily my salah, my sacrifice, my life and death are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. More in the next session inshallah, but let us think about this and see what is it that I can do, what is happening in my life which has the potential possibility of putting me in a bad spot when I am dying. How can I get rid of that? Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika rahmanir rahim, wa salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.